London composed your His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied?
I'm beginning to see the light.
I was talking to Andy Johnson on the way in this morning, and I coached Andy as a freshman in high school, and I'm not sure if that makes him old or me, but we're both working that way, our way up the ladder. But I've had the privilege of coaching football, wrestling, and baseball. I'm a huge Hawkeye fan, especially football. Thank you. Smattering of booze. I also am a really big St. Louis Cardinal fan. I see Mr. Jeff Cupp wearing the birds on the bat today. Well done. Currently, if you are wondering, the best record in the majors is held by the St. Louis Cardinals. So just so you know and just so you are aware, those of you who root for some other teams who shall remain nameless but are lower on in the standings. So that's a little bit about me. I have a question that I want to start off with, and I want a little bit of interaction on this. I'll do this to my students in class. A lot of times I'll put up on my smart board a question for them. And as they walk in the door, they see the question, and we'll take prayer requests and pray before we start class. And then when we're done, we discuss the question for the day, which relates to the topic at hand. And I'll do that to them quite a bit. They seem to enjoy it. Sometimes there's not a lot of discussion. Other times, we can take a good amount of the period on the discussion. Well, we want to be mindful of the children's church teachers today, so we don't want to go for too long. But I do want to give you a question, allow you to respond to it, and you're going to have to speak up. The air's on, the sound doesn't carry super well in here, so you're going to have to speak up so I can hear you and hopefully repeat that to other people as well. But the question is this: what goes in to getting a nickname? Whether for a person, a place, an event, what kind of things cause people, places, events to get nicknames? What's a leading cause? Sorry, I guess what speak way up. Shortening of a name, yes. Personality, definitely. Something embarrassing, yes. Reputation, definitely lends itself to providing a nickname. Extraordinary event can be a nickname. You make an impression on somebody, yes. Looks, certainly, can get a nickname. Good. We won't have anybody go around and share nicknames today. I thought about doing that, but we won't. But you shared some good reasons on to why people get nicknames. And as you think of high school kids especially, some of them are first name kids. They're known by their teachers and friends by their first name. Some of them are last name kids. They get called by their last name all the time. And some of them become nickname kids. In high school, I don't think, at least I don't remember having a first name. Everybody either called me by my last name or by a nickname that they had given to me. And just very quickly, I think it happened in either fifth or sixth grade baseball. If you've ever heard of the Lone Ranger, the Lone Ranger had a horse named Silver. And he used to say, "Hi-ho, Silver, away." Some of you know where this is going. I'll be interested to see in the movie that comes out in a week or so here if they use that. But I ended up getting the nickname "Hi-ho" in about fifth or sixth grade, and it stuck. And literally, a lot of my friends would call me by that all the time. And so some are first-name kids, some are nickname kids, some are last-name kids. Well, what I want to do here very quickly is I'm going to give you either the nickname of a famous person or a group of people, or I'm going to give you the actual name, and you need to see if you can come up with the nickname. And we're going to try to go pretty fast, so just think of it in your mind. I may call on one or two of you, but these come from all walks of life. All right, so actually, if you know the nickname or the name itself, raise your hand and we'll do this real fast. Who had the nickname The Babe? Babe Ruth, okay? How about this one? This might be a little tougher for all of our non-history teachers here. This president, ex-president, had the nickname of Old Tippecanoe. Brad, give it a minute. Old Tippecanoe. What? Tyler, close. It was Tippecanoe and Tyler, too, was the slogan. I forgot to tell Mr. Taylor he couldn't answer right away either. Harrison, who also had the shortest presidency, I believe. All right, this man had the nickname of the greatest showman on earth. Barnum and Bailey, P.T. Barnum, yes. William F. Cody had the nickname of Buffalo Bill, yes. How about this? They don't all come from history, at least a ways back, but this one does. The Little Giant. Not right away, history teachers. The Little Giant. Stephen Douglas. He debated Abraham Lincoln. Kind of how Lincoln's name really got big and famous, at least one of the ways. Okay, how about this? This is from more recent history. Who had the nickname of the king? Elvis. Good. How about this? This one also is from history. No, I don't want to say it yet. Moses. This person had the nickname of Moses. He was not a male either, it was a female. Harriet Tubman is correct. Harriet Tubman helping on the Underground Railroad. How about this? Who had the nickname of the Wizard? Ozzie Smith from the back. I debated on using this one, and I can't resist. This group of people has the nickname of the Lovable Losers. The Cubs, whose last World Series title was in 1908. I will say this about Cub fans on their behalf. It takes dedication to be a Cub fan. It really does. 2011, just saying. Anyway, how about this one? I will give you the name. You give me the nickname here for the next couple. Manfred is probably how you pronounce it. Von Richthofen. I probably butchered the pronunciation. I'm not German. What? Red Baron is correct. Okay? It's the Red Baron. How about this one? I'll give you the name. You give me the nickname. His name was Joseph, and he was a Levite of Cyprian birth. A lot of people are like, what? I actually think you've heard of him. You know him more commonly by his nickname of Barnabas. All of a sudden you hear Barnabas, you think, wow, yeah, I've heard of Barnabas. The reason we don't know his regular name, which is given in Acts chapter 4, is because he was known by his nickname. And it's impressive to kind of understand who gave him the nickname and why. And we're going to be doing a little character study this morning on Barnabas. And the challenge that I want for all of us to get is that God wants me to be an encourager like Barnabas. Now, I'm not here to elevate Barnabas. But there are some characteristics in his life that pleased God. And we want to try to understand what those characteristics were, how we can apply those to our lives so we can be the men and women that God wants us to be. Barnabas was known by his nickname, and he was given that nickname based on his dominating characteristic, which was that of being an encourager. If somebody were to give you a nickname based on your dominating characteristic, what would it be? Well, I don't want any testimonies here. Husbands, let's say your wives were to give you a nickname based on your dominating characteristic. What would that be? Anyway, we won't go there. Just a food for thought, I suppose. Opening your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. This man got the nickname of Barnabas, and it's important to understand why. Acts chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. Acts chapter 4, go down to verse 32. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. We're going to look at a couple of passages in the book of Acts today. So Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. No one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a problem in the early church. A large portion of the early church was Jewish. And when they began to believe in Jesus, a problem arose, because the Jews at large didn't believe in Jesus. Now you think about how unpopular Jesus was with a lot of the Jews. These are the exact same Jews. Okay, the events in Acts are only a few months after Jesus was crucified. It's the same people that were in Jerusalem in the time of Jesus. And the message that Jesus brought, the message that the apostles were bringing, was pretty unpopular. The Jews had a system of belief that revolved around the temple in Jerusalem, and then the synagogues around the country. The temple was the central point of worship. They all came there, all the males came there three times a year to have these big public festival worship times. Well, the synagogues were spread around the country, and they would go there on the Sabbath day. Sabbath day was sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. They would go on the Sabbath day to hear the Word of God read and expounded upon. Well, what happened in Jesus' time was they told the population, if you begin to believe and follow Jesus, you will be kicked out of the synagogue. If you think of the man born blind who got healed by Jesus, and they brought his parents in, and his parents were afraid to testify on his behalf, that was because they knew if they testified on behalf of this guy and they looked like they believed in Jesus, they'd get kicked out of the synagogue. Now, why was that a big deal? Well, that was a big deal because your whole life revolved around the synagogue and the temple. And if you got kicked out, your life as you knew it was over. A lot of them would lose their jobs. So livelihood became an issue. So as the gospel goes forth, with Peter starting in Acts 2, I mean really at large, large numbers of people begin to believe. Well, some of them start to lose their jobs, their livelihoods, they have a lot of needs. So what some of the other Christians start doing is they start selling land, property, whatever they've got. They bring it to the apostles and they say, here's the money from the land, from the sale, from whatever. Distribute it to the people that you know have needs. Barnabas was one of those people. Look in verse 36. Thus, Joseph, here he is, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. It's important to note who gave this guy his nickname. I mean, just think about it for a second as you look back through that verse. It was the apostles. We're not talking just the random kind of everyday average churchgoer here. We're talking about the pillars of the early church, the guys whose names are going to be etched in the New Jerusalem. These guys give this man his nickname of Barnabas. So the apostles nicknamed him Barnabas, and he goes by that for the rest of the book. So God wants me, God wants you today to be an encourager like Barnabas. So how do we be the encouragers that God wants us to be? Number one, if I'm going to be the encourager that God wants me to be, I must look out for the needs of others. I must look out for the needs of others. I've got to get past the me, myself, and I. Our world today, and really of all time, this isn't new, tries to teach us that it's all about us, that we are the center of the universe. That is untrue. It's not all about us. It's all about Jesus Christ. You know, my parents would tell me that. You know, I'd complain about something or say, well, life's not fair. My mom would always say, well, life's not fair. Deal with it. Get over it. It's not all about you. And it isn't. Kids sitting in the audience, the quicker you figure that out, the better off you're going to be. It's not all about you. You are not the center of the universe. Okay? There are other people. There are other needs. There are other things out there. And it's not all about you and how you feel. Same way as adults. It's not all about us. It's all about Jesus Christ, and it's all about serving others for Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. So I must look out for the needs of others. I've got to get past the me, myself, and I that so often we find ourselves in. We've got to look out for the needs of others. We have to have compassion on other people. Jesus had compassion. Compassion is more than just feeling something. Compassion leads to action, to doing something about a need. Barnabas had compassion. He saw the need as others did. And he sold his property, he sold his land, and he came and he laid it at the apostles' feet, said, do with it as you need, help other people. He cared more about others than he did himself and what he could get out of things. So how are you in caring about others? Are you wrapped up in the me, myself, and I? Or are you looking out for the needs of others? To be the encourager, to be what God wants us to be, we must look out for the needs of others. Another example from the life of Barnabas that will illustrate this point, go to Acts chapter 11. We'll be doing a little bit of flipping, mostly in the book of Acts.